بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن عين لا تدمع، ومن دعاء لا يسمع. رب يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين. ثم أما بعد، my respected elders and brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، سبحان ربي الأعلى. And peace and salutations be upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our last and final messenger, the messenger who said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihi lan tadillu ba'di abada, kitab Allahi wa sunnati. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I have left with you two things, and if you hold steadfast onto these two things, then you will never go astray. And those two things are the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering that is forgiven upon its departure, and to make this a gathering that hears a good word and follows it, and to make this a gathering that inshaAllah will be gathered again in Jannah, insha'Allah, ameen. This evening is a special evening in the week of a Muslim, because it marks the entry for the day of Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything, and Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal grants importance to certain things over others. Just like how He created all of mankind, but He granted a special status to the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, and from them He granted a special status to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then He created the Malaika, and He granted a special status to Jibreel alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the days of the year, and He granted special importance to the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and even better and more important, the night of Al-Qadr. And as for the days of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted a special status to the day of Arafah. وَاللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates that which He wants, and He grants a special precedence, He grants a special importance to certain things, to certain things over others. Would it affect the thing at home? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, and He grants the special status to certain things over others. And in the week of a believer, He has granted us the day of Jumu'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us regarding this day, as is found in the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. He said, أَفْضَلُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمُ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. That the best day upon which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. On that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered him into Jannah. And on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed him from Jannah. And then He said that the coming of the hour will not happen except on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that are from Ahl al-Jannah when the coming of the hour does arrive. Ameen. So this day has a special precedence. And my topic today is not the day of Jumu'ah, but just as a reminder for one and all, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That remind one another, for indeed, in this reminding and remembrance is a benefit for all of the believers. We should try and make it a means that tomorrow we set our day at a good pace, ensuring that we arrive at the masjid at a good time, taking cognizance of the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam differentiated between the person who comes to the masjid in the first hour and the one who comes within the second hour and the third and the fourth up to the time when the khatib actually enters the masjid and begins his khutbah. We should also ensure that we try and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his bathing and perfuming himself, in his wearing of the best clothes. We shouldn't come to the masjid dressed anyhow. We should make it a means that we come here dressed appropriately, in the best of all clothing, especially since the day of Jumu'ah is the Eid that a Muslim experiences in his or her week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. My dear elders and brothers, my mothers and sisters at home, the appropriate topic I thought of speaking to one and all about today is, and before mentioning this topic, I want to actually bring out in front of you the reason for this topic. And the reason is very clear. And that reason is found in our discussions that we have on our dinner tables, or may it be at work, or for those who play golf, maybe on the golf course, or for those who sit in committees, then during the committee meetings. And that question is, why is the Muslim Ummah today actually finding themselves in a state whereby we are actually moving further apart rather than coming together? We have questions such as, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not send to us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same prophet? Did he not send to us or reveal to us the Quran, which is the same book we read today, and the same constitution? How is it that we can be upon this one element, and yet we are dividing ourselves further, we are harboring enmity, we are looking to exercise our right to redemption over our right to forgive? And that is going to be the topic for today, inshallah. The topic is exercising your right to forgive over your right to redemption. Now, when I speak about redemption, I'm talking about your right towards getting your haq. If somebody wrongs you, Islamically, you are allowed to get what has been taken from you back. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهُ. This is a qa'ida, this is a rule in the sharia. Retaliation is permissible on condition that there's mumathala, as the fuqaha say. On condition that you don't take more than that which was taken from you. But when I'm speaking about exercising your right to forgive, over your right to forgive, and notice I say right to redeem, your right to forgive over your right to redeem, I'm saying that yes, whilst you have a right to get your haq, know and understand, and this is a forgotten principle, that it is even better for you to forgive. The topic for today, my dear elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters, is al-afu. And the reason for this actual topic is a verse that we can find in Surah An-Nur. And Surah An-Nur, subhanallah, is a chapter with several lessons, with several points for a believer. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu, it is reported that he wrote to Atiyya al-Hamadani, أَنَعَلِّمُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ Surah An-Nur. He wrote to him and said, teach your women the chapter of Nur. This chapter is a chapter that possesses ahkam, Islamic jurisprudence. It possesses advice. It possesses points of understanding for those who deliberate and ponder. And if our a'imma and ulama ever run a course discussing and dealing with this chapter, then we should make sure we are the first ones that clear our timetables to attend that particular tafsir lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse in the surah. And the story behind the revelation of this verse was the ifk, the famous incident that was attributed and actually designed to attack Aisha radiallahu anha by the munafiqeen. When they were coming back from a journey and she came out of the caravan to actually look for something that she had lost, a necklace. And the caravan, thinking she was in her, in the spot that she was supposed to be in, on her mount, actually left. And when she came back, she found that the caravan had left. So she stayed on the same spot. She remained there. Now, it was the habit of the Muslim armies when they were returning from these kind of events. And in South Africa, we all love cricket and we all cricketers, so we'll understand the term a sweeper. They have a sweeper on the boundary. So they'd have a sweeper who'd follow the army from behind, who'd pick up things that would have fallen off the caravan from the various animals that they were using to carry their goods or the spoils of war, etc. He would pick it up and come with it to Medina and hand it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then it would be distributed. And to his surprise, he finds the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. So he got off his mount, he let her mount the camel or the ride that he was using, and he walked in front of it and guided it back to Medina. When this happened, the munafiqeen, and this is the qualities of them, and that's why some of the ulama say that from the qualities of hypocrisy is to always love gossip, is to always want to know what's the latest thing that's happening in society. When you get that sickness, you end up manufacturing information. So when they saw this precedence and this scenario, they decided that this is something very great and something which we can speak about. So they accused her of adultery. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ She was pure from that, especially since she was the mother of the believers. She was far from that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested her, tested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tested Safwan ibn Mu'attal. It was a test for the Sahaba, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, was able to clear her name at the same moment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it last for a month in His wisdom. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. That don't think this is evil and bad for you. Indeed, in this whole affair was great benefit for you. And the ulama explained the benefit in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her rewards for her patience. Because remember, she told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked her about it, that I have nothing to say except the words that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa sallam said when he lost Yusuf. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ She was patient. A beautiful patience. She goes, there is nothing for me except to exercise, not just a patience, but a beautiful patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants glad tidings for those who exercise patience. We all know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, when He speaks about Him testing insan. And this is something we need to understand, that from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is going to test you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will test you with hunger and fear. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ And loss of wealth. وَالْأَنْفُسِ And life with ثَمَرَةٍ Subhanallah. You will be tested. But then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Glad tidings to those, give glad tidings to those who exercise patience. Who are those?
الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون
سبحان الله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says glad tidings to those who exercise patience. Who are they? Those who when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts them with a calamity, what do they say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed we are from Allah and indeed we will return to Him. Allah says, ulaika alayhim. For those upon them is salawatum min rabbihim wa rahma. Glad tidings and mercy from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
From Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Not from your mother, not from your father, from the creator of the heavens and earth. Subhanallah. And those are the people who are guided. So Aisha radiallahu anha, proving her innocence, proving her guidance, exercised patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared her. In any case, some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum fell prey to this or to these rumors. From them, Hassan ibn Thabit and Mustah ibn Uthatha and Humna bint Jahsh. They fell prey to these rumors and actually affirmed that Aisha radiallahu anha might have fallen in the circumstance and probably was guilty of that which was being said. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed her innocence in a verse that will be recited till the day of Qiyamah, there was one man that Abu Bakr radiallahu an was spending on. He was spending on Mistah, who was his relative. And because Mistah said this, Abu Bakr said, Wallahi, he took a qasam by Allah and said, I will not spend on this person anymore. Subhanallah. Was that not his right to redemption? He was being good to this person, and this person paid him back with this evil. Did he not have a right to say, I'm going to stop payment from today? Did he not have a right? Of course he had a right. But when he said this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and pay attention to this verse. For Wallahi, it is a great verse. And it is a verse that inshallah, if we give it true recognition and we deliberate over it, it will be a means to solving these degrees of separation that we find affecting this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then what did Allah say? He said, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. And then he said, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Subhanallah. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. لا إله إلا الله. Imagine. Quran being revealed to deal with that particular situation. Allah said it was not for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them status in religion and granted them wealth to take an oath not to spend fi sabilillah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to spend on the masakeen, which was Mustah, wal muhajir, he was from the muhajirin. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command him to do? Allah said, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ. Allah commanded him to forgive him and pardon him. And Allah told him, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you? Do you not love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Yes, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters, I come to you with the light of the heavens and earth, and that is the ability to forgive Allah. After this introduction, let me explain to you further why forgiving is so important. Forgiveness, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters, is very important for several reasons. And one of those reasons is because it is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Afu Al-Ghafur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His names, is that He is Afu, He forgives and He pardons. And if anyone asked you and said, why is it so important to forgive? It is enough for you to say that it is from the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. He forgives our sins of the day by night. And the sins of the night by day. And that is the reason why you and I never fall in a state of despair. Because we believe in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know how weak we are as believers. Forget about the sins that we do. Even the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do requires forgiveness. Requires us asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because we know the state of our salah and how weak we are and the wiswas and shaitan whispering to us. And that's why from al-afu is not to ask somebody that which they are not able to give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't ask from us that which we are unable to give. Subhanallah. And subhanallah, I just remember in Surah Al-Baqarah, we always read, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ, the famous last few ayahs of Al-Baqarah. And then what do we find the Sahaba, Allah commanding the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and the Muslims to say in there? وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَعْفُ عَنَّا, forgive us. And when did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them to say wa'afu anna? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah does not ask from you except that which you are capable of performing. He doesn't want from you that which you are unable to perform. If you can't read salah standing, even though it's a condition, sit and render your salah. If you don't have the nisab for zakah, then zakah is not compulsory upon you. If you don't have the means for hajj, then it's not compulsory upon you. Allah only wants from you that which you are able to give. And after that, Allah says, wa'afu anna. He commands us to ask Allah to forgive us. Using the word, al-afu, wa'afu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, subhana rabbi al-a'la. So this is from the conditions of al-afu. Also that you don't, al-afu doesn't only mean forgiving others when they wrong you. It also means not asking from other people that which they are not able to give you. And this is a benefit derived from the last few verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. Also, which explains to us the importance of forgiveness is that it is from the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't we want to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Isn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supposed to be our guide? Isn't he supposed to be our light? Isn't he supposed to be the one we emulate? Aisha radiallahu anha, radiallahu anha, in a hadith found in the Sunan, she mentions that from the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that kana ya'fu wa yasfah. Subhanallah. He used to forgive and pardon. Now someone might ask and say, you've used these two words together. Ya'fu wa yasfah. Forgive and pardon. What are the differences between the two? And it's a valid question. And the ulama have explained it as well and they've discussed it. And they've said that these two words are from the words إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ افْتَرَقْ وَإِذَا افْتَرَقْ اجْتَمَعَ. And this is a qaida in usul al-fiqh. It's one of the rulings that you find in jurisprudic methodology. There are some words which when they are used together in a sentence, they carry independent meanings. But when they are used independently of each other, they possess the meanings of both the words. Just like Islam and Iman. If I say Islam without Iman, I mean Islam and Iman. And if I say Iman without Islam, I mean Iman and Islam. But if I come and use Islam and Iman together next to each other in one statement, then I'm talking about two independent things. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. Then what did he say? كُلَّمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَاكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here said, say you didn't believe, but you have submitted. So now we've seen the difference, that Iman is to believe and Islam is to submit. But when they used independently, they carried the meaning of both terminologies. This is the same for al-afu wa as-safah. Al-afu wa as-safah, if they used independently of each other, they denote forgiveness and pardoning. But when they are used together, the ulama delved into it and extracted a beautiful lesson. And said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here teaches us that forgiveness is of two types. One is to just forgive. And the next one is to forgive unconditionally. What's the difference between the two? To forgive is to pardon somebody, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have forgotten what that person did. It doesn't. And we've heard people say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. The trust is broken now because of what you have done. I've forgiven you, but our relationship can never be the same. Have we not heard those statements before? So that is what forgiveness means. But al-afu is a greater form of forgiveness. It's a form of forgiving and forgetting. And what we mean by it is to forgive unconditionally. And when you forgive unconditionally, it means that after 10 years, when you're on the golf course playing 9 holes with this person, you won't remind him and say, you know what, remember 10 years ago when you did that to me and I forgave you. That's what it means. It means, after a few years, when you're on a journey, on a hajj journey together, and you're sitting in Mina, and after hajj, and you're relaxing, and you're remembering things that happened in the past, you don't bring up this thing. And very few people have the ability to forgive and forget. Wallahi. And that was one of the qualities of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And if there's ever a series on the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, then make sure you are also from amongst those that attend those tafsir lessons and benefit. For Surah Yusuf is a school of knowledge for a believer. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had the ability to forgive and forget. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that when his brothers came to Egypt for their quota of food, and Yusuf explained that I am Yusuf, and the conversation passed. At the end of it all, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There is no blame upon you today. خلاص. There is no blame upon you today. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. At the end of the story, when his parents came from Palestine, and they are all in Egypt now, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is talking to his family, what does he say? He says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجِنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدَوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Subhanallah. Listen to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf is telling his family, Allah was good to me. When he removed me from the prison. He didn't say when he removed me from the well. He said when he removed me from the prison. Which was worse? Being thrown in the well as a small boy or being thrown into prison as a man? Which was more difficult? Which was more difficult? As a boy. Being thrown in the well as a boy was more difficult and more testing and more disastrous than being thrown in the prison as an adult person. So his bigger test was in the well, not in prison. But what did he say? Allah was good to me when he removed me from the prison. Because he told his brothers a few verses before, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, it's done. It's forgiven and forgotten. So now when he's speaking about events to his family, he's not talking about the well anymore. He's talking about the prison. Subhanallah. This is a lesson from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these rare and important qualities. Because indeed we are Muslims not just by name, or we shouldn't at least be Muslims by name. We should be Muslims in reality. And understand the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had this quality, then how great was the quality in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this quality was present, as we find in the hadith Aisha that I mentioned to you. And this quality was present in the travel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ta'if. When he went to Ta'if and they harmed him. But when he was given the option, did he choose to retaliate or did he choose to forgive? Did he exercise his right to redemption or did he exercise his right to forgive? He exercised his right to forgive. From the qualities that teach us the importance of forgiveness is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to forgive. Have we not read in the Quran, فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضَ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Allah is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these Meccan verses to forgive. And what do we mean by Meccan verses? Those verses that were revealed before the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. And this is a point of benefit for us all, because many times people ask, what's the difference between Makki and Madani? We always see Makki and Madani. What's the difference? The difference is, Makki denotes a chapter or a verse that was revealed before the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. But Madani denotes a verse or a chapter that was revealed after his hijrah to Medina. Even if he was in Ta'if, even if he was in Makkah, but because it was revealed after his hijrah, that is Madani. In Makki verses, we all know before the hijrah, the Muslims are being persecuted. We know the story of Bilal. We know the story of the family of Ammar. We know the story of the Sahaba, how they were persecuted. But even then, Allah is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using the words of safh wal afu. Allah is commanding him to forgive and pardon them. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Forgive and pardon those who are worshipping idols, who are associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about yourself and myself in regards to our Muslim brothers who have made mistakes? What is our condition from them? Those who have harmed us. They are our Muslim brothers who affirm the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they've accepted the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even then we refuse to forgive them when Allah here commands in Makki verses upon their persecution to forgive. And it wasn't the case that the Muslims weren't able to retaliate. Some people say they weren't able to retaliate. That might have been a minute reason, again not to, but it wasn't the main reason. The Muslims were able. They had Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. They had Hamza, radiallahu anhu. They had powerhouses in the army. They were able to retaliate. Have you not read the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ.
Subhanallah. Have you not read the Quran? Have you not pondered over its verses? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here saying, have you not seen the people? That when we said to them, كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, put your hands down. Put your arms down. Drop your weapons. But instead, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Render your salawat and pay your zakawat. Don't retaliate. And I tell you, we have to use these words with a lot of our community today. With a lot of our elders, we have to say, كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. With a lot of our youth in circumstances, we have to say, كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. Take it easy. Take a step back. Exercise your right to forgive over your right to redemption. And let's look at why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to retaliate. The ulama say, in him, commanding the Muslims to be patient was a training for the young Muslims. That if they could survive the persecution, they would be stronger when the time of retaliation came. Subhanallah. Look at such a precise point of benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon the ulama. Another point of benefit is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want the kuffar to say that two people from the same household are fighting, because remember, a son might have accepted Islam but not necessarily his father. But that father still could have been supporting his son. As is in the case with the sahaba who didn't go to Abyssinia. There were sahaba who went to Abyssinia because they had to survive the persecution. But the sahaba who had protectors from the Quraysh, they weren't commanded to leave. Subhanallah. That's another point of benefit. And at the end of the day, these people who they didn't retaliate against, did they not accept Islam? And they did they not become great supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is in the case of Khalid ibn Walid? And this level and status only a few can reach. Your ability to exercise patience when you are in the heat of adversity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ
فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, respond with that which is better. So that the situation between you and the person who harbors enmity against you can turn around. And he can become a supporter of you. Yesterday he was your enemy, and today he's your supporter. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Look at the power of forgiveness and the quality of forgiving. That your enemy yesterday can become your supporter today. And Allah says,
وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ.
Subhanallah. Allah says nobody reaches this level. Your ability to convert your enemies into your supporters, except those who are patient. Those who exercise their right to forgive over their right to redeem. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Subhanallah. Those who have superior intellect. Those who look at situations, not at the situation, but they look at the result after the situation. And this is important. And those who study management will see this. And I did a talk on management once and I mentioned this. That we find in the books of management, when they talk about 5-year forecasting and planning, 10-year forecasting and planning, they don't talk about looking at the project that has been asked of. For example, your advisor comes to you and says, let's do this. This is our 5-year plan. When you listen to your advisor, don't look at what you're going to do to make the 5-year plan come right. No. Look at the result that's going to come as a result of that plan being effected. When you retaliate, don't look at the retaliation aspect of it. Look at what's going to come after the retaliation. That is a person with insight. You're always 2 steps ahead. If you're only going to look at the situation, you are behind. Because the person who's looking at the result of the retaliation, he's 2 steps in front of you. Subhana rabbi ala'ala. And this is a Muslim. This is a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strong person is not a person who can wrestle. He is the person who can exercise patience at the time of anger. Subhana rabbi ala'ala. A person who can forgive when he's been wronged. This is the strong person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this quality. So we need to know that it is from the name of Allah and it's from the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who forgive. Have you not read in the fourth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying,
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, march forth towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and this Jannah that Allah has made for us all, which is larger than the heavens and the earth put together. It encompasses them. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It has been prepared for those who have taqwa, the people of taqwa and piety. Who are these people?
الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ.
Subhanallah. Allah says these are the people who spend in difficult times and in easy times. They spend, they give out in charity. And there are those who suppress anger. When they become angry, they suppress it. Subhanallah. Allah is talking about spending in His path and then He's mentioning this quality. Does this not teach us how important this quality is? To suppress your anger. And then what did He say after?
وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ.
Those who forgive others. This Jannah is for those. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who do good. And know and understand that if Allah loves you, then He commands Jibreel to love you. And He commands Jibreel to command the creation of the skies to love you. And when the creation of the skies love you, then that love settles in the hearts of the people on earth and they love you. Today you want people to love you. This is the way. Forgive them unconditionally and they will. So these few points, respective elders and brothers, should serve as a reminder to us on a topic which we hear very rarely. We have heard seeking forgiveness from Allah, which is a very important topic for our sins. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. But also understand that we should forgive others. Forgive others as many times as you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this to Abu Bakr, and who was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, so what about yourself and myself, subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should use the following as a means to assist us in forgiving others. First and foremost, don't let yourself drown in the heat of the moment. When somebody harms you, don't drown in the heat of the moment. Stay above the situation. That way it is easy for you to forgive others. Also, put yourself in the shoes of the person. The person who's wronged you, put yourself in his or her shoes. If you were the person who did the wronging, would you not love for that person to forgive you? Na'am, you would. Thus, forgive that person. That is another point. The third point is spread the salam. Today, subhanallah, we only make salam to those who we know. If we don't know a person, we don't make salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, spread the salam. And in this salam is a dua. In this salam is a means of you getting rewards. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and someone came and said, assalamu alaykum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 10. Someone else came and said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 20. Someone came and said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 30. When he was asked about 10, 20 and 30, he said, this was the rewards for those people. Subhanallah. Just by greeting, there is a reward. And this salam increases our brotherhood and increases our ability to forgive others. That is another point. The other point is, exercise the things taught to you by the Sharia when you become angry. When you're standing, sit. And if you're sitting, lie down. Subhanallah. And that's another topic on another day about anger. Khattabi, when he explains this hadith, subhanallah, he says, when someone is standing, he's more mobile. He has the ability to do things that people who are sitting can't. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sit down. And a person who's lying down has an even less opportunity of doing things than a sitting person. So he says, if you're sitting, lie down. That way your actions are suppressed. You're suppressing yourself. And wallahi, there is no one here who can say they acted in anger and they didn't regret the action afterwards. There isn't. Because anger is something which we are commanded to suppress. And we are told that it is from the strength of a believer when he suppresses his anger. So, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters, with these few words, I leave you with this message. Know and understand that it is important to forgive others. And this act of forgiving is a means of acquiring and attaining thousands of good. As we've seen in the qissa, in the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah commanded him to lower his weapons and arms. The benefit after that was that Makkah was taken over. There is benefit after benefit in forgiving. And even if you can't acknowledge the benefit, then acknowledge the fact that tomorrow you are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And understand that you are going to want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And as you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, forgive others. Because know and understand, if you want to be a person who wants to hold account to everybody on the face of this earth, then think to yourself, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held you accountable, and held me accountable, and held everybody accountable for their sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ. Subhanallah. We've read this verse several times. We might have crossed it in an English translation, but it has never struck us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ. If Allah held you accountable for every minute thing you did, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ. Nothing would tread the face of this earth, not even an animal. The ulama say because of the severity of the sins of the son of Adam, even they would have been affected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. May He grant us the ability to forgive. And may He grant in our hearts our love to forgive. And may He make us forgive others as much as we want Him to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding of the importance of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To grant us the importance of becoming an ummah that stands up upon the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To become an ummah that realizes that the yardstick in doing right and wrong is not the norms of society, but that the yardstick is the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, you cannot do justice to la ilaha illallah except that you follow the Quran and the sunnah. It's not enough to say, I believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you think it's enough for you to say you believe and Allah won't test you? In the same way I'm saying, do you think it is enough for you to say you believe and then you be oblivious of the sources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down? Oblivious of the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us? La. You cannot be a complete Muslim except if you live your lives parallel and not contradictory to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us try and learn more about his life. And not just learn, but implement. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a death when He's happy with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us shade underneath His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speed on the Sirat into Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything correct said in the speech is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the most perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and Shaytan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His forgiveness. I love you all for the sake of Allah. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I ask Allah to make this a gathering that when we leave, we look at the good points and follow a good word. And I'm thankful to the masjid for the hosting of myself and Darul Ihsan for the great preparation, the Jamiat in Johannesburg as well. And for Brother Ridwan Ismail and Dawood Valley of Lanesia for the great support and their great organization and assistance. Indeed, in thanking the people, there is the thanking of Allah, because thanking of the people is the lesser thanks, and thanking of Allah is the greater thanks. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin. Alhamdulillah, bi ni'matihi tatimu salihat. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.